I think this is my opening remarks. On the 30th of December, 2012, Gary Carpenter brought the first message of this season. Do you all remember it? It was titled, "When the Manna Ceased." Change of season. Now, primarily all that I'm about to say is for the family of the prayer center here and the family of the prayer center that has done the message, walked the message, lived the message, and won, and has entered up into, put their feet in Jordan to go into the promised land. The second message that he taught was, when provision changes. In other words, manna has ceased. You no longer get up in the morning and walk out, pick up your daily necessary food, and go back to the tent and do whatever. Not a lot of movement. Not a lot of activity, unless the cloud moved. If the cloud moved, you better be up and ready to walk wherever that cloud is going to move. To me, that's a representative of the Holy Spirit in the season that we're in. We'll get into that later. But when he moves, you better be ready to move. And you better have an ear to hear. There's not going to be any lightning flashes. There's not going to be any fire by night. And you're not going to have a cloud over you that moves out and you have to move. It's the hearing ear. And it's the seeing eye in the spirit. The third was change produced by warfare. He actually titled it, or the Holy Spirit actually titled it, Offensive Warfare. Offensive Warfare. Now, not the type of warfare that we read about going on all over the world. Well, that's not how you fight the enemy. The way you fight the enemy is you call God down. You call him down and let his presence come, and the enemy scatters. There's not a single one of us that have any ability in ourselves to do anything against the enemy. But our co-laborer, the Holy Spirit, there is no fight. They run. And he uses your words and your faith and your love for him to scatter the enemy. My recommendation is that you get those messages. How many of you have heard them? No, I shouldn't ask it that way. Our pastor and others have said many times, you know, that you need to read 1 John 50 times and meditate on the whole book. And they've used other books to say you really need to meditate. I would highly recommend that you take the time to get those messages. And there may be one others. There may be one other that Gary did at Calling in the Lost. And I would listen to them, and I would listen to them, and I would listen to them again. Because those were not Gary Carpenter's messages. I can remember one that he delivered, and it may have been the name of Jesus, that when he woke up, the Lord began to give him scripture. And it seemed like the Holy Spirit was in a hurry that morning. Gary probably woke up late. Okay. But he only had time to write them down. I've got this to say, and 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 I've got this to say. Write them down, son. Put them on a sheet of paper, and I'll explain them to you when you get to the service. So he probably slept in. Every one of you, without exception, are walking into a promised land. Do you know that your promised land is not mine? You have a personal promised land. You own a piece of the promised land that's totally yours. Your promised land is not mine. Not mine. It's yours. You're the only one that can occupy it. You're the only one that can conquer it. You're the only one that can flourish in it. And you're not going to do it by yourself. We have a co-laborer. And that's the Holy Spirit. You got your own promised land. Your own property. Nobody else has claim to it. Now yours, most likely, will be right next to mine. Because of your calling. Because of your future. Yours won't be far away. Because none of yours will be far away. But the Holy Spirit and the Lord and the Father is counting on you to possess it. It's not revival. It is not revival. Revival may be the fruit of it. But you can't possess revival. But you can possess your promised land. You can possess every single thing that he's ever told you that he has for you. He is your promised land. But he allows you to share in what he wants to accomplish through you. But it's personal. It's personal. Incidentally, he will not go against your will. He never has. He never will. And not even would he go against his son's will. So you can stay in the wilderness, or you can stay in the promised land and never, ever possess. Take the deed of it, rule and reign over it, and accomplish his will. He will not, cannot, never, ever. He will not. If you want to walk, he will walk with you. If you want to run, he will run with you. Every desire that you have in your heart, every single desire you have in your heart, where do you think it came from? Do you think that you're that self-made? Every desire that you have in your heart is his. I'm not talking about the sin desires. I'm talking about the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power. Every desire is his. He gave it to you so he could accomplish it through you, so that you could give it back to him as a gift. Starts with him, ends with him. Everything. Your desires are not necessarily my desires. Overall, yes. But specific, he is a one-on-one Lord. He is a one-by-one Lord. Every one of you listening to me at the present time could be hearing something different, because he's looking at your heart and he's wanting to place in your heart what he has to say. And the avenue to get there may be different, because it's a living word. It's living. Okay, let's go to the handout. Actually, let's go to John chapter 1 first. And we'll begin reading in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus." The Lord Jesus never, ever brings truth that he has not also brought the same amount of grace necessary for you to receive it, if you're teachable. They're like this. That's who he is. He is grace 100%. He is truth 100%. He is love 100%. He is patience 100%. On and on and on. But in this case, where we're walking, the truth that he's going to continually bring forth and continually speak himself about in the words that come forth, he always brings grace. And he always brings truth. And he always brings hope. He never, ever brings defeat, discouragement, sorrow. He brings grace, 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 and truth, and truth, and truth. It's our responsibility to receive it. It's our responsibility to ask for the wisdom to understand it. And the understanding of the wisdom, or the understanding of the truth, almost never, ever, ever comes like that. He wants you to slow down, wait on him, and meditate on what he just said. There's a transfer from somewhere in our brain, or the mind of Christ, to where everything takes a path into our hearts. There's probably no one here that someone could come up to you and tell you that you were not born again. But when you first became born again, it was partly here, and partly here, and then partly here, and then partly here, and he warred against your sonship. Eventually, you shut him up because you absolutely knew that you knew that you knew that you knew that you were born again. Nothing can ever change that once it arrives here. The grace was always there for it to arrive here, but you were diligent in meditating, building your hope, reading the Word, everything that is taught within the Word, and eventually you knew you were born again. And you possessed that part of your promised land. The third thing you could do is ask for the strength to become a doer of it, to walk in it, to go forward. If we go to the grace definition, I'm not going to read the whole thing this morning. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll go slow. Very few of my children... Let me talk about the handout for just a minute. As the Lord was preparing me for this to begin to teach, He told me that it would not be a one service. And He wanted me to lay out, not necessarily homework, if you look at it that way, but for something that for you to be able to take with you, that you could read and meditate on between services. Now, I don't know when the next service will be, but if you will follow along with me as we both walk this path and you review the document, He will speak to you things that He has not spoken to me. Nobody's ahead of this. We're moving in. When the children of Israel went across Jordan, there was nobody left behind. And they all walked on dry land. And when they got over there, they were a unit. The same way with where we're walking and where we're headed. We talk much about being a family. We'll all make it. We'll all possess our promised land. And there will be no envy, jealousy, backbiting. I will be as excited and possibly more excited as to what Rich's promised land looks like than my own. My, just look at what He did. Or just look at what's been accomplished. I won't want to take His land from Him. I'll just enjoy being neighbors. So I would not discard or lay aside the handout, because it is one of the major keys for you possessing your promised land. Okay, very few of my children really trust me or depend on me. I have mountains and endless mountains of grace stored up that I have never touched, because I found very few who will open their hearts through faith to receive my grace. Do you really want to know what grace is? Listen, and I will give you a new and a different definition of the grace of God. He said different. He did not say the only one. How many of you have experienced when the Lord wants to get something across to you that He has hundreds of ways to tell you the same thing? You know, and finally, when it dawns on you, you go, "Whoo! Why didn't I understand that 5 years ago or 10 years ago?" And in some cases, if you're my age, why didn't I understand it 30 years ago? All of you are much younger and all that. But He has many different ways of saying the same thing. This is one of the ways He chose to describe His grace, the genuine, true grace, Grace is you letting me do what I want to do in this earth through you. It requires you being absolutely still, unmovable in your decision to wait upon me to bring about the desired results. If you want to put a note out to the side, you can write, "Waiting on God." More and more will be taught about that, not only currently, but in the near future. It's one of the seven foundations for the message from the prayer center. It's probably been taught the least, and that's not by air, that's by timing. You all know the Promised Land story. You all know that they conquered the first city. And you all know they chose that they no longer needed to wait. And so they decided to go take the next city. And the co-laborer, the Holy Spirit, stayed at Jericho and said, "Go on out if you want to." Because he would not come against their will. We're all going to have the opportunity to walk there. I don't want to experience a defeat. So I'm going to learn to wait on him. I'm going to learn to become absolutely still and unmovable. It's harder to be still than it is to move. It's much harder to wait, because we live inside a time zone and everything is in a hurry, especially your enemy. Especially your enemy. He would love for you to get out beyond your call, out beyond your level of fellowship. The word maturity has been used recently, and I have a resistance to that word within me, because I want to remain a child. I really want to remain a lamb. And I see the opportunity to believe I'm more than what I really am. And what I really am is a co-laborer with the Holy Spirit. My mindset, when that revelation first came forth, that we are co-laborers with the Holy Spirit, I thought that, well, I didn't think, I just lived that way for a period of time. That the Holy Spirit was going to help me do anything that I wanted to do, and that he was my helper, and after all, he was my teacher, so he would teach me anything and everything that I wanted to do. But recently, and I mean very recently, I realized that in my confessions or in my fellowship, I continually tell him that I'm your helper. What do you want to do? And how can I help you accomplish what you want to? It's still co-laboring, but it's a whole completely mindset, different, out of my heart. Like, wait a minute. I'm not the boss. You said you wanted this done and this done, so I'm just about ready to go to AI and get it done. And he's saying, wait a minute, I don't want you to go there, and I can't go with you. I co-labor with you every single thing, every moment of every day. I co-labor with you to accomplish the Father's will, not yours. And I see some people shaking their heads. You're almost innocent. You don't deliberately say, this is how I'm going to be. But it's the lack of waiting. It's the lack of, I'm going to say, fellowship. And lack is not the right word. It's becoming busy. It's wait a minute. What are we going to do today? You know, what are we going to do now? It's that, Holy Spirit, we are co-laborers, and I don't know why you even allow me to be involved. You're 99.9%, and I may be 1%, but all that I am, you've got. And so what are we going to do? Because you're going to do it all through me anyway. Okay. Grace is you letting me do what I want to do in the earth through you. Requires you to be absolutely still, unmovable in your decision to wait upon me to bring about the desired results. I would star the next paragraph. The desires, the hopes, the dreams, and ideas that are inside of you are not yours. They originate in me. That is, within my spirit within you. It is not your job to bring them to pass. It is your job to be a vessel for my grace. Every desire. I was told of an event in an individual's life, and he was a preacher, a speaker, fairly well known, and his habit was that when, before he went into a service, that he would get alone, and no one would bother him, and he would present himself before the Lord. And he made sure that no one would bother him. Very adamant about it. I need my time alone. And this one day, in that period of time, he began to ask the Lord to come to the service, to show up, telling him that he was only his servant, and please show up, please show up. And the Holy Spirit gave him an open vision. And the open vision was that his son, which was about 4 or 5 at that time, in the vision, came running into the room and violating his privacy and his habit of being alone. And he come running in, like my grandchildren do, and jumped up on his lap. And began to tell his dad how much he loved him, give him hugs, give him kisses. And the pastor, at that moment, received a supernatural love inside of him, that he began to return the love to the boy. And he knew that his love for that boy had now become supernatural, along with the natural and how much he loved him. And in walked Jesus through the door, poked his finger at the man and began to make fun of him. Began to make fun of him of how much he was loving his little boy. Go ahead, love him. Go ahead, love him. See if I care. Go ahead, love him. And did it long enough that the individual's heart was hurting because the Lord was making fun of him. And then the Lord said, son, that's exactly what your prayers sound like to me. Remember this, that your desires for my children will never, ever, ever match my longings. Pray that I can break you, that I can bring my longings to my children, not just your desires. Pretty strong, huh? His longings that he has for you to possess your part of the promised land, your desires cannot even come close. And that's not a critical thing. That's recognizing his desires for you is so far beyond, or his longings. How long has he waited? We talk about waiting on the Lord. How long has he waited on us? And how much he loves us? On and on and on. He's excited. I mean, he's so excited. Read the words that have come forth. How many times he has said that he has been waiting. He now has a voice. He now has this. I now can do this. I'm now able to reveal this. Every bit of it is a fulfillment of his longings for us to accomplish. And he's the one that's going to do the accomplishing through us. It is not your job to bring them to pass. It's your job to be a vessel for my grace. Not one of you can make anything happen that will be solid enough to stand up under pressure, but we can make it happen with him. I think I'll just let you meditate on it and read it and reread it and see how the Holy Spirit speaks to you about it. Let's go to the next page. I believe on your handout, let me get yours. On your handout, it has the God of Hope. Underneath it is F980909, face-to-face, www.garycarpenter.org. This is one of Gary Carpenter's face-to-face. He had this face-to-face in 1998. This has been here, available since 1998. All of the other ones are there. The Lord pulled this one out because of the condition of where the body of Christ is and partially where we all are, a portion of this. And the reason that it's laid out the way it's laid out is for you to keep notes, because as I walk through, I'm only going to give you the scriptures, and then I most likely will read the scriptures. This is a working document. Really, it's a document for you to become a doer and not a hearer only. This is a portion of how you will possess your promised land. As we read through it and go through it, it'll become more and more clear that it is just that. It is a document, it is revelation knowledge for you to possess the promised land in your life and for you to accomplish everything that he desires you to accomplish. Every desire, every hope, every idea, every wish. This is part of the steps. Okay, I'll just read. Let's see. Concerning ministry, son, the first lifeline you are to throw to the people is the lifeline of hope. Stop. If he's asking us that the first lifeline when we minister is to minister hope, then that is always the first lifeline that he ministers to you, is hope. Do you agree with that? He's not going to ask you to do something that it isn't he. That is who he is. Okay. If I have time, and I'll take it, I'll read three short prophecies that have come forth just this year. And you can go back for every year, every prophecy, and there is never a time that when he has delivered his heart in a word of prophecy, that he has not delivered hope first within the prophecy. I mean, that's what he is. That's who he is. So as we minister, as you minister, this is not, he didn't say when you're in the pulpit, or, you know, he didn't say when you're in a, he said concerning ministry. Whoever you're ministering to, the first thing that he's asking us all to do is to minister hope. Why? For the enemy rages against all mankind to destroy all hope that there is help for them from their God. You are never wrong to give the people hope. Without hope, there is nothing for faith to give substance to. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The first order of ministry is to allow the hope to be painted on the canvas of their hearts, for without a vision the people perish. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. He that keepeth the word. He that keepeth the rhema word within his heart that he's given you personally. Happy. Happy are you if you keep it. If you keep it. Do you ever take a lesson like this or a word like this? Two things. Do you ever take them and you personalize them? Let me give you an example. The first order of ministry is to allow hope to be on the, to be painted on the canvas of your heart, Tim. You understand, Tim, that the first order of ministry that I always minister to you, I always minister to you hope, Tim. Before I minister anything, before I minister correction, before I share with you what I want you to do, before I ask you to pray for anyone, do you understand, Tim, that I minister hope to you? I really do. When I come to you, whenever I come to you, I'm always bringing hope. I'm always, always, always ministering hope to you, Tim. It's my greatest joy to minister hope to you, because I know Tim, the enemy, and I know how he attacks. And he's good at it, Tim. But don't ever lose the vision, the hope that I've given you in the vision. Don't ever lose it. I know every one of your hurts, Tim. I do. I really know them. And I've heard every one of your requests. There's not a one that I turned my head. There's not a one that I closed my ears to. But I'm telling you, Tim, I'm bringing you hope. I'm wanting to fill your hope with the vision that I've given you. You ever do that with your words that you've received? Next, have you ever read them back to him? Have you ever taken time? Have you ever slowed down to where you say, now Jesus, I want you to read this. I'm going to read this to you. Not smart aleckly, but in a level of fellowship. I want to tell you how much I love you because you said this to me. And I just want to remind you, because I already know you know, but I'm really reminding myself, but I'm going to tell you, okay, that you told me that the first order of ministry is to allow hope to be painted on my canvas. You've really, Lord, I need another stroke of the brush. I need to see it clearer. I need to see it more complete. Tell them, tell yourself that all hope is in Christ Jesus the Lord. He and He alone has provided access for you into the bounty of your Father. Tell them it is all free by grace based on His finished work. There's no work for you to do. It is all available free based on His finished work. John 14:6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Ephesians chapter 1. 15 through 23. We here spent over a year, like that's a long time, in the book of Ephesians. I can remember, I like to remember things that the Lord has said to other people. I don't like to make fun of them because He said it to them, but I get a chuckle or a joy that He chose to say it to them instead of me. And this one is on Gary, but we had spent the whole year. I'm not sure we were turning the year or whether it had been 12 months, but he asked the Lord what he should teach on next, because after all, we had spent 12 months in the book of Ephesians. And certainly it was time to go on, right? I mean, you know, it's time to go on. And the Lord said to him, and I'll paraphrase it, Son, You have only introduced, you've only introduced the introduction to the book. Like we had exhausted everything that was in the book. During that season, the Lord gave us a request that we begin to read the prayers that Paul prayed and do it on a daily basis, make it the form of fellowship that we had with him. Not so much confession. It was everything. It was meditation. It was waiting. It was confession. To put it inside our hearts. I don't know when you stopped doing that, but I won't tell you when I stopped. And I would have preferred to be able to stand up here and say, I do that daily so that I could get some recognition. But believe me, I didn't do it long enough. And probably I didn't even introduce the introduction to my heart of those prayers. But that's changed. I'm going to read it, and then we'll close. It is, by far, the finished work. When he said, tell them that it's by grace, and it's the finished work. I'm only going to read one of the prayers, but you'll get the message as to what is all available. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he, the Father, raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Pretty complete.